Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Violet Reiki Radio. I would like to thank the founders of the Seika Network for giving me this wonderful opportunity to present this show to the public, where we will be talking about Reiki and all things surrounding Reiki, its discovery, its roots, practice of Reiki, and more. Reiki is a universal life force energy, an intelligent energy of love and wholeness. It understands the cause of problems and what healing is necessary. Reiki energy has a wisdom of its own, healing and balancing all aspects of a person's mind, body, emotions, and spirit. Reiki is a blessing, an instantaneously conferred sacred potential for healing, protection, and spiritual development and growth. Tonight we will be discussing the subject of how you can discover your inner self with Reiki. Reiki is an amazing step along the path of raising your vibration and your connection with your higher self. If you are receiving or giving, it allows you to activate self-healing and discover more than you have ever dreamed of discovering. It allows us to touch the magic of the universe and commune with what I call divine source. You may call it God, goddess, Buddha, Krishna, whatever. It teaches us that we never stop learning, and that we need to believe. For those of you who would like to call in and chat with me, the number here in studio is 347-677-0699. Feel free to discuss tonight's topic, anything you'd like to know about Reiki, anything of interest that you want to bring to us all about Reiki that you've learned, or any other potentials for spiritual and personal growth. We would love to hear. We're always interested in improving and helping ourselves grow. I'd like to tell you guys about my website. It is www.violetrosereiki.com. Please check out the website. We are coming up with new services. We're always looking for ways to help people heal, help people relax, decompress, de-stress. We are all about wellness and wanting everyone to be well every way, shape, and form. You can send me an email if you'd like information. Send an email to rose@violetrosereiki.com. You can also find me on Facebook under Violet Rose Reiki. Also on Facebook, we have I have a page which is called Reiki Ward. Now, at Reiki Ward, we take requests for Reiki. They can be for humans, animals, situations, whatever you would like us to send Reiki to. We send distant Reiki healing. And Reiki Ward does 2 to 3 rounds of healing every day at a minimum. We also do meditations wherein we send the Reiki energy out to everyone. We have a healing crystal grid for 24/7 energy work and healing. You send us a request on Reiki Ward, the request with a picture if you provide us with one. If you don't, that's okay too. We just need a name and a location. The request is placed on the healing grid so that 24/7, that crystal energy, along with all of us at Reiki Ward who are sending distance Reiki healing, gets out there to you, and we will we'll keep it flowing. Also, I'd like to let you guys know this is really fantastic. Sometimes I think no one is listening to the show because we don't really see a lot of people in the chat room. It's kind of hard to tell who's listening, who's not. A lot of people just like to lurk in the background or listen, and they don't want to call in and talk. So many shy people out there. But I just noticed today that I had 140 archive listens to last week's show. And I just want to remind you all that if you cannot be near your computer or, you know, call in or don't have the time, you can go into the archive section and look up any show you may have missed or you couldn't be, you know, around for, and you can listen to it at any time. A couple of weeks back, we had Dr. Harold Steinberg on. Dr. Steinberg is a holistic practitioner here on Long Island in Suffolk County. Last week, we had Chris Kayla on. He is an energy worker from Canada. You just look through the archives if there's a subject or something. The listings and the titles of the shows are there, and you can pick out whichever one you are interested in and just, you know, listen to the show at your convenience. Once again, the number here, the call-in number is 347-677-0699. Another announcement, and then we will get on with the show here. Please do check out the website for namaste.com. There are some really wonderful products there, and the entire mission of iunamaste.com and everyone there is global love, unity, harmony, and peace. They wish to spread the oneness and have us all connect as one. And their products have the lovely logo of theirs, which is reflective of all different colors, different races, different creeds. It's, you know, more so than the rainbow because there are more than just 8 types of colors, more than just 8, you know, different strokes of color. There's just so much. And as the years go on and on, we want more melding, more mixing. And this contributes to us all being one. So check them out. They've got lovely ladies' bracelets. They've got wonderful candles, aura sprays, things for your life and for your home. So again, iunamaste.com. And I'm going to take a short break and then we will get to the show. Thank you. Okay, we're back. One other thing I forgot to mention, you guys, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have Reiki Master Teacher and author Lorinda Weatherall, who just published her fantastic book, Integrative Healing, Merging with Modern Medicine. And that's what we all want. If you're a Reiki practitioner and if you know about Reiki, love it, like it, have had it done, practice it, we really want Reiki to get out there as a modality which is part of integrative healing. They started doing Reiki in hospitals, you know, as of late, and it's a wonderful thing. It's beautiful because everyone who does do it, and all there are doctors who have had, well, Dr. Oz is one, and there's another doctor here in New York, they have Reiki practitioners in their operating rooms, in their post and pre-op rooms, you know, because the Reiki does so much for people going into surgery. Reiki does so much for people who have cancer and are recovering from cancer and going through the chemo and the radiation. I myself have a large number of cancer patients who receive the Reiki, and I've been told that they value the Reiki so much and the healing that it's given them and the ease of dealing with this disease. So we're going to have Lorinda on, I believe it's January 23rd, but I will keep you posted, and hopefully you'll join us then. And again, if you missed it, there's the archives. Okay, so tonight we're talking about discovering the inner self with Reiki. Now, I know from personal experience, I know from counseling sessions with clients, it's really funny how we question ourselves a lot with, why is my life like this? Why am I like this? Why don't I have this? Why don't I, you know, be like this? And what's wrong? And the answer a lot of times comes up. What's wrong is we really don't want to look in that mirror. We really don't want to see the inner self. There's a fear. And, you know, there's always fear of the unknown. So if you don't want to face your inner self, you don't know it, which makes you afraid of it. And because you're afraid of it, you don't want to face it. It's a vicious, vicious cycle. But really, the magic word Reiki brings an immense feeling of joy and gratification to me and tranquility within and around me ever since I have been experiencing Reiki healing and Reiki energy, which has led me intensely to embrace Reiki and all that it can do and all that it does do. I first heard of Reiki from picking up a brochure when I had severe, severe back pain. And that was my very first experience with it. And from the very first experience with Reiki, it was love at first or love at first experience because it helped me so much. Now, Reiki had started to help me so much on the physical level. And I thought it was wonderful. But it went much deeper than that. Reiki then started helping me on the emotional level. And in that emotional level, it helped me to discover so many things, which then led to it healing on a mental level. And it's like every step, every level that I went through with the Reiki along with me, it was better and better and better. And my life opened up like a blossoming flower because once each level received its healing, it was complete and it just went to the next level and the next level. And like all the puzzle pieces came together. Reiki has actually shown me the real me. You know, the me that I was trying to hide for so many years. With Reiki, the words universe, awareness, positivity, higher consciousness, compassion, self-connectivity, honesty, and peace were no longer words to me. They all have been actually sensed. I could feel what each one of them meant. Not only what it meant, but what it felt like. In every moment of life, with an absolutely profound essence of literally living life rather than just existing. From an initial phase of observing a little diversity in me with Reiki healing to a current phase where I'm not the real me without Reiki healing even for a day. You know, something's missing if I don't do my self-treatment every day. It's like I left my arm at home or something. But they all have integrated, and the transformation that's happened within me with Reiki is amazing. When I say the real me, I mean, I can actually feel that I am connected to my higher self, which gets reflected in every thought, every word spoken, and every action with calmness and a renewed focus of sensitivity while handling relationships, work issues, anything and everything. Reiki is a very simple technique of laying on of hands where the energy flows to wherever it's required. It's an intelligent energy which reinforces a sense of responsibility and teaches us to take charge of our own lives. From my experience, one can be sure of its divine intervention when needed, promoting happier, healthier, and a more meaningful life. To me, self-treatment actually equals self-responsibility. Because as you practice self-treatment every day, you become more and more aware of yourself. You're more aware of how you feel and when you feel how you feel. And you bring up, you reinforce a sense of self-respect. Maybe where there wasn't a sense of self-respect before, believe me, Reiki is going to reinforce that, bring that out in you. And that's really what you need to be the real you. The real me has self-respect. The me that is connected to higher self knows, yes, I respect myself. I love myself. These are two core things that are needed in order for us all to live a beautiful, happy life. You need respect for yourself. You need to love yourself. Two very basic things that we need from the get-go. You know, you may think, oh, I need a big house. I need a lot of money. I need a luxurious car, wardrobe. I need... You know, no. Most of the things we think we need, we don't. And these two things, self-respect, self-love, yeah, those we do need. So practicing every day and doing self-treatment every day helps us to really connect with and think about self-responsibility. Even the healers, I hear this all the time. The healers, when I say healers, I mean healing facilitators. We just use healers because it's an easier, quicker term. But people who do healing, we're all the last to do this and focus on healing ourselves. You know, we're running out. We've got to help this one. We have to help that one. Oh, but Mary needs me. John needs me. And a lot of times we forget ourselves. And then, you know, I'm just not feeling right. Well, have you really focused on self-healing? Oh, no, because I was busy helping healing. So a lot of healers get stuck in that pattern where it's like so busy helping others and so worried about not being selfish, self-centered, having that big ego that we put ourselves last. Healers, put yourself first, because there's no way that you can help anyone unless you yourself are 100%. So it's not selfish. Moreover, it is prudent and wise to make sure that you yourself are 100%. You wouldn't want to give someone 75% of a cake as a gift, would you? You give them 100%, the whole intact cake. So why would you want to help someone if you were only 75%? So it's okay. You know, do what you need to do to take care of yourself so that you are well and that you are 100% all the time. In fact, all the incidents and circumstances in our lives are nothing but the consequences of our own impressions, which reap good if the impressions fall under the spiritual laws, and reap bad if they violate the spiritual or cosmic laws. Application of the acquired spiritual knowledge and experiencing the problems that life often gives because of karmic reasons with more strength, less suffering, positivity, and humility will be easy and effortless with Reiki and meditation also. And needless to say, Reiki in itself is a meditation. If our intent of experiencing exuberance, peace, and ecstasy every single day of our lives becomes part of our Reiki daily practice, the universe automatically bestows all the required for us. Self-treatment allows us to bask in the sacredness of inner exploration, our own inner healing, and connect with the spirit practice of honoring oneself. There's a full quietness in these moments and a deep mindfulness that has infused the environment. This moment in the now is a place where we go inwards. And once you go into yourself at that moment, you are in the now. You are communing with yourself. You're communicating with everything around you. You are one at that time with all. This happens in Reiki self-treatment. There are those of you that meditate and experience the same. And like I just said, Reiki is a meditation in and of itself. Power of affirmations is another brilliant aspect that can be experienced with Reiki. Nothing can be so pleasant as to wish for something to happen, and it actually does. It is unfathomable positive energy that turns all our affirmations true and happening, be it something that is apparently impossible. As a matter of fact, all of the aforementioned aspects of Reiki experiences are a result of a simple, straightforward Reiki self-healing practice, the key being intention. Now, we always say when you're performing Reiki, there's no need for you to set an intention because Reiki is an intelligent energy. But in setting an intention, it's kind of like an affirmation. It's kind of a little added ingredient. It doesn't hurt to set an affirmation. So you can give it a little kick it up a notch, as they say, by setting your affirmation, intention, whatever. And what could be in store for us, for the entire world, if Reiki is explored to its fullest? I know we had hurricanes here and what have you, and I did post, and a few other Reiki practitioners did post, and we really, we're calling upon all Reiki practitioners to help us to set the intention to move this energy, moving the energy of the hurricane. We were setting the intention to use Reiki energy to move the hurricane further out to sea so that the people here or, well, the one that was here in the United States, but also in other areas of the world where they were having hurricanes. And we were trying to move it away from the land so that people and homes, et cetera, were not harmed by this. And I believe in two, we actually did see these hurricanes move, where the news was talking about, you know, this area of land and that were going to be hit. Well, they were not hit as hard or as near as the news were projecting. So that is also seeing Reiki energy in action. So, yeah. Now, I have been asked why I decided to obtain different Reiki certifications, because I am a Reiki master teacher in four different types of Reiki. Honestly, it was because it, first of all, I love learning, and it's always good to learn more than one particular thing. You know, it's good to have as extensive a knowledge you can for your own benefit, as well as the benefit of your clients and your students, etc. And I also felt that it would help me with my healing for myself. It would also help raise my vibration, and it would help me in connecting to spirit. And I'm still discovering. I just enjoy learning. It's something that, God willing, I'll be doing until the day I die. And this is, you know, I think I'm pretty much done with my Reiki master chefs at this point, but, you know, there's plenty of knowledge out there, and I'm hooked. Once I obtained my level one Reiki, life became a tad more interesting. With this amazing gift of healing, I was also shown that I could hear and feel energy, and there are also other nuances that were opening up to me. It's amazing when you feel energy in your hands and you feel that you're actually doing something that is helping someone. Let's establish that the word Reiki symbolizes true self. It is spiritually guided, well, spiritually guided consciousness. And to me, this spiritually guided consciousness, this symbolization of the true self, after many years I've come to realize, symbolizes the phrase going with the flow. You know, by using the word Reiki, Kao Sui was pointing out that the system he had created here was to help us rediscover our true selves and make that cosmic connection, which would enable us to go with the flow. When you're tuned in to the divine, when you're tuned into your higher self, it guides you to go with the flow. In other words, it guides you to be unguided by yourself. You are connected to the divine, and you're just going with the flow, which opens you up to accept what is coming for you, which is all for your best and highest good. Now, this is apparent by his use in the precepts. The precepts deal with the intricacies of the true self. People in the early 20th century in Japan appeared less interested in mediation or meditation or chanting mantras, as their world was now opening out and being culturally influenced by Western cultures. Kao Sui created the system of Reiki in this environment, a practice for people without interest in chanting, mantras, or meditation, but which would still bring them closer to rediscovering their true selves. The result was hands-on healing practice for themselves. This hands-on healing practice evolved over time to become a more externalized practice, and today many of us have forgotten the inner or hidden meaning of hands-on healing on ourselves. The first thing we need to ask ourselves regarding the inner hidden meaning of the hands-on healing is what is happening in our minds when we place our hands on ourselves. When you touch your body, you are both the person touching and the person who is being touched. This sensation within our mind triggers a letting go of the I. This happens because we find it difficult to realize that we are touching and being touched at the same time. So we let go of the I. On the deepest level, it helps us to trigger a state of non-duality. In other words, we rediscover our true selves. We let go of the ego. Although one is touching oneself, it is also being touched. This doubting of sensation further internalized to enable us to discover our own self. The more we purify the notion of I am touching, the more we can let go of the I. In this way, we are also creating a very intimate relationship with ourselves, as intimacy only happens when there is a mutual agreement between two elements, which means we feel no difference between what is being touched and the toucher. For example, if I touch a tree and I feel there is no big difference between me and the tree, intimacy will not take place. However, when I let go of the notion of I am touching the tree, the I and the tree, then we become intimate and finally reach a state of non-duality. The more we let go of the I, the more we can reach into this state of non-duality. I'm going to take a brief break and I'll be back. Hello, we're back again, and I see we have a caller, and this caller is Lorinda Weatherall. Let's see if we can bring her on.
Hi there, how are you?
Lorinda. Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
So, how are you enjoying our topic this evening?
It is a truly interesting topic, Rose, and you're absolutely correct when you say that we're not giving it the attention that it deserves.
Yeah, love the self-healing and everything, yes?
Definitely. The reason why it's so important, and you touched on it when you said about meditation, is because it synchronizes the body and the mind to become one.
Yes, I try to meditate every day. Some days I'm not successful, But I feel if I missed the meditation, I did the self-treatment, which is in and of itself a meditation, I'm okay.
And that's true, because what you're doing is you're giving your hand something to do so that your mind is occupied because the tactile senses are activated. And then by just doing self-treatment, you are, like you said, you're in a meditative kind of mode, so any act of healing, you're in the delta state. And that's where a lot of great healing does occur.
Right, right. And it's funny, you know, because sometimes in session that will happen to me. I don't know if this happens to you, but I'm giving Reiki to someone, and I get so in the zone that I catch myself on the way to falling asleep because I've gotten so relaxed myself in that treatment. Because as you know, those giving also receive while they're giving to their client or what have you. And when I catch myself, it's like when you're on a long bus trip or something, you start to D off and it's like, whoa.
Yes. Yes, I've experienced that as well. I mean, it's almost like you want to put the head down on the table and have a nap with the person.
Exactly. It's like, oh, yeah. My God, I can't fall asleep. I have a client. This is terrible.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a beautiful, beautiful feeling.
It is. And some of, you know, a lot of the people that I work with at hospice, they will say, we only have 20 minutes, half an hour together. And they say, I fell asleep. I say, yeah, I know. Thanks so much for the compliment. And they look at me like I've got two heads, and why do you say it's a compliment? And I said, well, how many times do you ever fall asleep on a stranger? And they go, oh, yeah. You know, I trust you enough that I can be so relaxed to fall asleep.
Exactly. It's funny because years ago, I was so uptight. My husband used to get me massages here at one of the spas, and you had to use it before the end of the year, and we were almost on the end of the year, and they had no female massage therapist when I called, and I was not going to let this go. So I said, okay, I'll take the male. You know, we all have these hang-ups. So I said, okay, I'll take the male, and went into the massage. I was just hysterical. I was so uptight. I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And he started the massage, and I have to tell you, I fell asleep out cold. And when I said to him, I'm so sorry I fell asleep, he said, oh no, that is, to me, that's a compliment. That means I did my job so well that you relaxed to the point where you fell asleep. That's, don't be sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is a lovely feeling that someone has that much trust in you.
Right. And, you know, now that we're doing this, it's amazing because you know that the energy, you know that person received the energy and you know that it worked. You know that they released and that they are relaxed to the point where they did let go of the tension and whatever and the stress and everything, which will now lend its way to helping them heal.
That's right. I had a student one time tell me that he would not allow his clients on the massage table to go into that Reiki slumber state because he said he felt that they had work to do. And we had a bantering back and forth conversation, and I sort of let it be known that I thought he was not doing his clients a very good service by not allowing them to have their Reiki slumber, because who said that being actively working is more beneficial than, and trying to discover their issues is more beneficial than having a Reiki slumber?
Yeah, I mean, really, that's like kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you want to, I mean, my mind goes in funny places. Think of a machine constantly working, 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 working. You never shut this machine off. You never give it downtime. Well, you know, to my thinking, that machine is going to start to falter, fail, give you problems, not work correctly. Why would you want that?
Exactly.
Yeah, now that's a little weird. But, yeah. I think it's a wonderful thing. And like I used to, you know, I always said I when I started doing Reiki, I found that if I would go in my car on my lunch hour and give myself self-treatment for 20 minutes, half hour, when I left the car and went back to work, coming back from lunch was almost like coming in at 9 in the morning. I was totally refreshed. I was relaxed. Whatever had happened in the first half of my day was gone, and I was, you know, ready to go out the second half with as much vim and vigor as I had in the beginning. So it was great. It was great.
That's excellent. It's almost like you've had a personal reset button.
Yeah, it was wonderful, you know.
Yeah. When I was a brand new practitioner, you know, your teacher does tell you, try and do the hand positions for 21 days. So I'd get up in the morning, I'd get my kids off to school, I'd have breakfast, I'd have tea, all that kind of goodness. And then I'd sit down and put Sesame Street on for my younger son, and then I'd sit to do my Reiki. And what would happen invariably is I'd do the head, all the positions of the head, and by the time I got to my shoulders, I'd be asleep.
Yep.
And I would fall asleep for about 20 minutes or a half an hour, and then I'd wake up and I'd go, damn, I did it again. After a while, I just sort of went, oh, well, so what? I did it. I did some of it. I would wake up sometimes and finish the rest of it. And if it didn't happen, it didn't happen. But it was meant to be the way it was. And my life situation changed. And it was for the better. And I think that's probably why I only got to do the head part, because that was the part that needed the fixing the most.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I could pretty much get through the head, and then I would start to fall asleep to the point where in the beginning I was like, I can't do this in the morning. I'll do it at night, because once I start, if I fall asleep, I'm in bed, it's okay. But in the morning, it's like, I can't fall asleep. I'll be late for it.
I know.
But,
I know.
You learn how to work with it and go with the flow, and it's wonderful.
It is. It is. It is. And I think that because we go within like that, mm-hmm. that stimulates a deeper connection. What I seem to discover is so many people look outwardly. They want to connect with the externals. They're looking for to have their energy being stronger, or they think that they don't trust their own intuition, so they look outside to develop their intuition and get intuitive guidance from outside, whereas it's not necessary. You just need to go within, and that will show up all on its own without necessarily even having to practice or having to try and do anything.
Right. That's the trust yourself, go with your gut. Stop asking people. Just go with what you feel is right. And it's funny, I was running an errand earlier today, and I'm driving, and I thought about this. I'm thinking about interacting with people and thinking about, like, how many people out there are two-faced. And a lot of times it's not that they're two-faced because they want to be, but that they've gotten into this thing of this, you know, this duality. There's the me that is really the me, and then there's the me that I present to the world, which is really not the me, but it's something I've conjured up, and it's working because I'm too afraid to take the me and present it to the world because no one will like me. And then there's the more in touch with the real me, the real you that you get, you start to see your inner circle dwindle, and the friends and the people who you thought you were close to or you counted as friends starts to diminish. And if you've embraced your own inner self and you have that self-respect and you have that self-love, it's okay. The diminishing of people around you and in the inner circle isn't so traumatizing because now you really know. It's like, do you want quality or do you want quantity? Embracing the inner self with love and trust.
Exactly.
You want the quality. I find a lot of times people who are insecure and stuck in their own duality have tons and tons and tons of people around them, acquaintances, almost acquaintances, friends, Facebook friends, social networking friends. Everybody's a friend, but when you think about it and you narrow it down, who's really there for me? Who really believes in my cause, believes in me, accepts me, supports me? You find that it's really not a whole lot of people.
No, it's not.
But again, the fear, oh my God, I can't, you know. And it just, what it does is it keeps you, it keeps you away from the real you. And like I said at the outset of the show, we're also afraid of the real us because of this whole thing that we've been led to believe. And again, we go back to one of my favorite books, The Four Agreements. You know, we're all living everybody else's dream.
Right.
And we're not living our own dream, and we're not walking our own walk because we don't even know what it is because we haven't gone to really find out who the inner self is.
Exactly. I went through that experience myself. Well, I took a job working in an area that I'd never been in. The people that I met at this new job didn't know anything about me. I was a Reiki practitioner for maybe 6 months by that point, and I knew I wanted to make changes in my life, and it was a conscious decision to have these people view me in my new self as opposed to my old self.
And didn't you find you were accepted a lot more?
Well, they were an interesting bunch. And they just accepted that I was different, and I was okay. And I was okay with that. And I wasn't. Not that they were trying to mold me or make me in their image, because we were a group of eight people, and we were, some of us were similar, and some of us were different. But I was more the different, very different one. They got quite amazed when I was working in a greenhouse, and I would be in outside. And I could see the rain curtain coming across the fields, and I'd say, okay, we got about 5 minutes before it's going to hit us. And they'd look at me, and they'd look at the rain, and I'd say, okay, don't believe me. And then when it happened, they sort of looked at me and went, you know, and then I'd go and stand outside because I like the negative ions in a thunderstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And they just thought, you are just one weird Jack. And I went, oh, well.
She's crazy.
It makes me happy. There you go. I'm not hurting anybody, so it's all good.
Yeah. It's amazing because, you know, I'm thinking of the, do you ever notice how the precepts, you don't say, you know, like, just for today, I will not anger, or I will not worry. You just say, just for today, do not anger, do not worry. It encompasses everyone almost as one. You're talking about everyone will not anger or worry or whatever. You're taking out that I. Because when you let go of the I, there is no I, then you're not worried, and there's no pain. It's like, I'm sure you know this. You have children. When, you know, when you're in labor, they have you focus on something across the room, you know, on an object or what have you, because if you're focusing on, I'm in so much pain, well, then you're going to be in more pain. But if you're focusing on, oh, look at the bunny rabbit or the plant.
yes, something else, the distraction, yeah.
You don't relate. Yeah, you don't relate to the pain or, you know, the worry or the anger or what have you. Yeah.
No. And if you extend that too, thinking of the no I, you're macrocosm. So you're not giving the individual cells within your body the opportunity to go, I'm hurting.
Exactly.
So that's not drawing your attention there either. So you're just, it's a general broadcast statement. Do not anger.
Right.
So that's like every single cell in your body, you're giving it permission almost to let go of that stored anger that's in there from whether it's a childhood trauma or an argument that's stored in cells or whatever you want, wherever it's been, you're allowing it to go because you've made that conscious decision that it does not make your life happier. It does not make you healthier. and it definitely can impact your health in a negative way. So you know what? No, I'm not. It's not worth it, man. I'm gonna let you go.
Right, right. It's one of the hardest things to let go of emotion, because I remember, you know, forgiveness is another, you know, well, even love. I mean, people have such, they get so possessive with love. It's like, you know, it's either I love you, you're mine, or I love you so I can tell you what to do and how to live your life, or I love you and you have to love me back. And it's like, why can't you just love? To me, love is something that flows like Niagara Falls. You know,
yes, exactly.
I love, and whenever I say I love or I love you, I literally do see like the falls flowing from my heart. It's like, I love. Okay, so I've got love flowing out to you or to a bunch of people or to a place or just into the world. You know, love is something that should flow. And the same thing with forgiveness. It's like, no, I can't forgive this one or that one. Why can't you? You want to hold on to bad stuff.
Exactly. Well, I've had that conversation. I had that conversation sort of this week with someone, and they were trying to tell me that it's a conscious decision by monks to love others. And they were putting it in flaming capitals. And I thought, I really am not going to engage in this conversation because it looks like you are trying to beat me over the head with your words, and I don't want to go there. I'm not there to convince you that monks do service to people unconditionally. It's not because they've made a commitment to love. It's because they have done it and they've learned to just do it. It's not a conscious effort anymore. Like you said, when you think of love and you're sending to others, it's Niagara Falls flowing, and that's what they do.
Yeah, but it's they have, when they became monks, or you know, when they decided to become a monk, to become part of the service to the divine, to the universe, at that moment, they decided that this was what they were going to do, and then from that moment on, it becomes free-flowing. It's not, well, then I learned it, and I engaged it, and I set the intent. I don't think it works that way.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
It totally doesn't. But anyway, like I said, I wasn't going to start having this yelling conversation through the internet, and I just thought, no, I'll let it go.
No, the older I get, the more I realize, you know, you pick your battles, and sometimes you gotta lose a battle, but you win the war. And
that's exactly true. It is exactly true.
Yeah, most definitely. But when you make that conscious decision, and when you actually do engage your higher self and become connected to the divine, and you kind of realize, I'm in this for service. And it opens you up. It literally cracks you open. And if you accept it, like, you know, a Mission Impossible, if you accept this mission, if you accept it, then you go with the flow, and you just, you know, you're not looking for, you know, the ego is always looking for, so what's in it for me? You know, how much money am I going to make? How much fame am I going to have? How many people are going to like me? Yeah. Once you get rid of that nasty little devil, the ego, you know, your life just flows, because it's not all about you. And you tend to become all about the oneness. You are about everyone and everything being one.
Right.
And that's a great place to be. So
it is. It truly is. I mean, how many wars would be not fought if everybody remembered that we all came from a primordial one individual or two individuals?
Mm-hmm.
We're all the same DNA. We're all the same red blood cells. We're all the same genetic material.
Right.
It would be lovely.
It would be lovely. And sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know if this is ever going to happen. But that's what you have to say, no, you got to keep going sooner or later, even if it doesn't happen, you know, in my lifetime. No one should ever feel that what they contribute now, there won't be a ripple effect. I mean, there will always be ripples in the water. So, yeah, we might not be able to see it on the physical plane, like, you know, we're here now, but, you know, we'll know about it and we'll see it and we'll know that it has happened when it does in some dimension, and you just got to keep the ripples going.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on moving on.
Yes. So while I still have some time here, because this thing is counting down like a bomb ticking.
I will get off.
And I just want to remind everybody that I believe it's the 23rd. We're going to be speaking to you about your wonderful book, Integrative Healing, and we can go into that in depth when we have you on the show as a guest.
Yes, thank you.
I love it when Lorinda calls in, and I just have so much fun chatting with her. So thank you, Lorinda, for calling in.
Thank you so much, and I will see you shortly.
We'll see you on the 23rd. Thanks so much. Many blessings.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, listeners, that was Lorinda Weatherall. And we have 3 minutes left to the show. Quickly, if you want to know anything or say anything regarding Reiki, you're welcome to call me at 347-677-0699. And once again, please take a visit to iunamaste.com and also stop by www.violetrosereiki.com and see if there are any services there that you would like. And just, you know, back on our topic here, it's this non-duality thing. You really let go of the notion of I, and as we were saying, that I, that ego, will really mess up your life. Got a caller here quickly. I believe it's Joseph. Hang on. Good evening, Joseph.
Good evening, Rose. I enjoyed your program immensely. I just have a quick comment and a quick question. The comment is, again, as always, I love your show. There's so much information that I drink in, and, you know, I'm learning from your program. I love your guests. Now, I just want to confirm, you said the 23rd, that's a Sunday. Will you be broadcasting on February 23rd?
No, sweetheart, it's January 23rd. That's the
Sunday. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Okay.
That's okay.
I thought you said February. All right. Well, no. You know, the ear's a little clogged. That comes with age. I keep doing my Reiki every day, twice a day, sometimes three times. So maybe we'll get that working. Everything else is working fine.
Okay,
and I love your show
time.
And keep up the good work, and I'll be listening every week faithfully. Okay?
Right, so maybe,
love you and bless you, and keep up the good work.
Okay, Joseph, thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a good night.
Love
we'll talk
too.
Soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye, sweetie. Okay, that was Joseph. I think he's going to have to start doing his self-treatment with his fingers in his ears. That might help. Joseph, I'm kidding. I'm only kidding. And as he was saying, you know, the I and the ego, got to let go of that ego. It's only when we let go of the notion of subject and object that we can rediscover our true self. And this is also the inner hidden meaning of hands-on healing. But we really can only start to see this if we have had a direct experience during healing on ourselves in that daily treatment. Once again, I thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember the archives, and I will see you all next week with another segment of Violet Reiki Radio. Bless you all. Much love, much healing, much light. Namaste. Mm-hmm.